following sermon was delivered at the 10:30 worship service at the United Methodist Church of Kent. Please enjoy.
The sermon this morning is the fourth in a sermon series entitled Navigating the Storm, How to Journey in Faith Through Troubling Times. The series began with a story of people literally navigating a storm, the story of Noah and his family on the ark. And next Sunday, we will return to another biblical story that literally takes place on a boat in the middle of a storm, the story of the disciples in a storm on the Sea of Galilee. But the image of navigating a storm describes numerous circumstances in life. Our Old Testament passage this morning from the book of Lamentations came out of one of the stormiest times in the history of Israel, the conquest of the land of Judah by the Babylonian Empire and the exile of the people into Babylon. Bearing the brunt of the storm was the prophet Jeremiah. His story can be very helpful for us whenever we find ourselves dealing with storms in our own lives. Let's begin with a moment of prayer. May the words of my mouth and the meditations of our hearts be acceptable in your sight, O Lord, our strength and our Redeemer. Amen. In America's Got Talent this year, there was an act in which a guy hurled flaming knives within inches of his wife. You wonder why she signed on for this job. So you might wonder why Jeremiah signed on for the job that he had, since what he experienced was like getting flaming knives thrown straight at him. Jeremiah became a prophet during the worst of times in the history of Israel. It was around the year 600 BC. The land of Judah, where Jeremiah lived in the capital city of Jerusalem, was being seriously threatened by the rapidly expanding Babylonian Empire. And the message that God gave Jeremiah was that Babylon was going to conquer Judah. The people just needed to give up. So Jeremiah was called to look toward what was coming and to shout out, "We're going to lose. We're going to lose." It was like being a sports writer for the Cleveland Browns. His message was not popular, especially because he not only said that disaster was coming, he said that the reason for the disaster was because the people in their sinfulness had forgotten God. No one likes to be told that they are both guilty and doomed. Flaming knives of hatred, rejection, and violence were hurled Jeremiah's way. He was despised by most of his fellow citizens, and he literally was beaten up on account of his message. Then Jerusalem fell to the armies of Babylon. That proved Jeremiah's words to be true, but it did not make him happy, because Jerusalem was his town, and the temple was his church. And now it was all broken down and burned to the ground by the armies of Babylon. Many of the people of Jerusalem were carried off into exile, which pained Jeremiah all the more. For although the people had often mistreated him, he deeply cared for them. In the rubble of Jerusalem, it seemed to Jeremiah that his whole life journey had been for naught. He was a prophet for God, but what had come of it? Everything was in ruins. It felt as though God was beating him up and slinging arrows at him. In the depths of despair, Jeremiah wrote the words of Lamentations that we heard this morning. "I am one who has seen affliction. God has besieged and enveloped me with bitterness and tribulation. He has made me desolate. He bent his bow and set me as a mark for his arrow. He has made my teeth grind on gravel and made me cower in ashes. My soul is bereft of peace. I have forgotten what happiness is. So I say, gone is my glory and all that I had hoped for from the Lord." If you ever have times of despair, you can identify with Jeremiah. Jeremiah's story makes plain that even people of deep faith and commitment to God can have times when they are feeling very low. Indeed, there's a direct trajectory from Jeremiah's feelings of anguish and abandonment to the experience of Jesus on the cross, who went through extreme rejection, pain, brutality, and the sense of being distant from God as he cried out, my God, why have you forsaken me?" The Bible never suggests that the life of faith will be all sweetness and light. There are times when we may find ourselves in the darkness of the storm. But even though we may be in the midst of great trouble and may feel at times as if God is absent, in fact, God is with us, and we can find new hope as we look to God. This is what Jeremiah does. In the depths of trouble, he reaches to the core of his faith, and he says, "But this I call to mind, and therefore I have hope. The steadfast love of the Lord never ceases. His mercies never come to an end. They are new every morning. Great is your faithfulness. The Lord is my portion, says my soul. Therefore I will hope in him." In a yet greater way on the cross, as Jesus says, my God, why have you forsaken me?" He is actually quoting from Psalm 22, a psalm which concludes with a powerful statement of trust in God and a confidence in God's salvation. So in our own lives, a time of trial and despair can become an occasion when we move to a yet stronger connection with God as we lift our hearts to God in faith. The Apostle Paul testified to precisely this experience of finding God's strength in the depths of trouble in that passage we heard from 2 Corinthians. He referred to a very trying time that he had in the Roman province of Asia, located in what we now call Asia Minor or Turkey, as he said, "We were so utterly burdened beyond our strength that we despaired of life itself. Indeed, we felt that we had received the sentence of death. But that was to make us rely not on ourselves, but on God, who raises the dead. He delivered us from such a deadly peril, and he will deliver us. On him we have set our hope that he will deliver us again." Tough times have a way of stripping away the illusions of life. We realize that many of the things that we had assumed were solid are in fact transitory. And we realize that our own strength is woefully insufficient. But perhaps, like Paul, our fragile circumstances move us to put our trust all the more in God. And as we do, we become receptive to God's deliverance and find ourselves lifted up afresh in the power of God's grace. I'm reminded of an old story about a family of eagles. It seems that baby eagle, when he was big enough to fly, was still afraid to leave the security of the nest. Daddy eagle knew, though, that the security of the nest was only an illusion. There was no food in the nest, and eventually a strong wind could blow the nest off its perch. Eagles needed to be able to fly out from the nest. But no matter how hard Daddy Eagle tried to get Baby Eagle to fly, Baby Eagle refused to budge. Finally, one day, having become thoroughly disgusted, Daddy Eagle flew down and just booted Baby Eagle right out of the nest. As Baby Eagle plummeted toward the ground, he decided it was time to learn to fly. Overwhelmed with terror, he stretched his wings and suddenly felt a rush of wind breaking his fall. He flapped his wings once, twice, then again and again, and felt himself ascend upward, up past the nest, and he soared up into the clouds. You and I, like that eagle, may prefer the security of the nest. We prefer what seems safe and familiar, even when such safety is only an illusion. But sometimes the harsh winds of difficulty and tragedy blast us out of the nest, and we find ourselves plummeting in despair. We may think it's the worst thing that ever happened to us, but it may be just that moment that moves us to stretch the wings of faith. And as we do, we find ourselves borne up by the Spirit of God. Of course, God is rather different than the daddy eagle in the story. I don't believe that God intentionally boots us out into thin air, nor does God just sit passively back and watch to see if we'll manage to come to faith. The true character of God is revealed to us in Jesus Christ, who came to humanity in the midst of our fall to rescue us and to enable us to rise up into new life. If ever we find ourselves in a tailspin in life, we can look to Christ who is with us, to embrace us with grace, to strengthen us anew, and to empower us to live as people of God. During the Olympics this past summer, I was watching the platform diving, wondering how the divers kept from smashing their foot or their head against the platform as they did those somersaults. And I was reminded of one of the most inspiring Olympic stories of all time, which occurred in the platform diving competition during the 2000 Summer Olympics. One of the U.S. women's divers that year was Laura Wilkinson, who was in Rio this past summer as a correspondent for NBC. Back then, in the Sydney Olympics, she was a 22-year-old in the 10-meter diving competition. A few months before, in March, while practicing her dives, Laura had smashed her foot against the diving platform and broken it in three places. It is pretty difficult to do high dives with a broken foot. Concerning the accident, Laura recalled, "The day I broke my foot, I thought my dreams were over. I thought everything was lost at that moment. But God moves in mysterious ways." Laura trusted that somehow God would be at work through all this, and she persevered to struggle back from her injury. Before every dive, she would utter the words of Philippians 4:13, "I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me." By the time of the Olympics, Laura was still wearing a special boot on her foot when she would climb the ladder to the diving platform, because otherwise the rungs of the ladder would cause extreme pain in her foot. No one gave her a chance to win the gold, especially against the phenomenal world champion Chinese diver Fu Mingxia, who had won the gold in the previous two Olympics. But in the competition, Laura did one masterful dive after another. Her second to last dive involved the same movement off the platform as she had to make the time when she broke her foot. Laura said that that dive took a little something extra from God, and God was there for me today. Laura won the gold medal. When an NBC reporter interviewed her immediately after the competition, her first words were, "I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me." There are times in life when we may feel like Jeremiah, overwhelmed with trouble and feeling well nigh hopeless. But we find real strength and vision when we remember that Christ is with us, and we open ourselves to His Spirit in faith. Jeremiah put it well when he said, "The Lord is my portion, says my soul. Therefore I will hope in Him. It is good that one should wait quietly for the salvation of the Lord." Let us pray. O Lord, we find ourselves at times in life in the midst of great trouble, but inspire us to recognize that You are with us. Move us to look to You in faith and to open our hearts to how Your Spirit would work in us. Guide us, O Lord, to trust in You, to know that You are here with us, to guide us through every challenge, and to find our real hope in you. And Lord, as we are led by your Spirit, move us then to reach out to others who are in times of particular challenge in their own lives. Lord, we thank you that we can join together in your church to support each other, to grow together in our faith, and to reach out in mission to the world. We lift up our fellow United Methodists at the Poe United Methodist Church this morning. Lead us all, O Lord, as we indeed would find our strength in you as we journey in faith and share in how your Spirit will be at work with power and grace in and through our lives. In the name of Jesus, our Lord and Savior, we pray. Amen.
Thank you for listening to this edition of the United Methodist Church of Kent Sermon Podcast. For more information about the church and to read Dr. Palmer's notes from the pastor blog with more about today's topic, visit www.kentmethodist.org.